If you have a New Testament tablet, or even right in front of you, I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 2, if you want to follow along with us this morning. 1 John 2, starting in verse 18. Let me look at you. Hi, guys. Everybody doing all right? So I got in my car, it's probably about a month ago now, and it's running a little bit late. I thought, no big deal, I'm late. It happens to people all the time, right? Pull out of the driveway, I live off of 615, so I get right on 90 right there. And just as I'm going down the entry ramp of onto 90, this thing just... I couldn't go faster than 15 miles an hour on 90. I was making a lot of friends. And that light was just... And you know it's trouble when the check engine light doesn't just come on, but it flashes. Now it's really saying, okay, you should have paid attention to me before. Now you're not. So I ended up having to get off on 306, and then I crawled back home. The warning light shined in vain. Life is like that too, isn't it? We get warnings and we get signals. You climb some stairs and you get short of breath. Or even worse, you feel a tightness in your chest. Or you've got that suspicious mole on your shoulder and you think, Or that guilty conscience that you know you should have done that or shouldn't have done that, and your conscience just keeps poking at you. Or the inability, maybe as a married couple, to communicate without fighting or anger, or so you don't say anything at all. Warning lights in our life that say, watch out. Look out for that thing. Beware of that. Don't ignore this. And oftentimes you're like me with my check engine light, right? And surprise. And it's not our car anymore. Now it's our life or our health. Heed those warning signs, guys. Don't forget them. God gives us pain and warnings to shout at us, to remind us of things. Now, there's all kinds of dangers and warnings spiritually as well. Don't you wish there was a check engine light flashing for us spiritually? Check engine or check your soul. It's in danger right here. Be careful. Check your life right here. Your walk with Christ is in peril. Be careful. Or maybe a check engine light for your son as he goes off to college. Be careful. Check engine. Well, there sort of is. We've been reading through the Apostle John's letter to us. This old man that is writing to believers that he loves, and he calls them dear children all the time. And now he's writing some words that we're going to look at that are check engine. Watch yourself, as he clearly spells out the warning signs of danger. And in some ways, three things that he's going to tell us about warning, spiritual lives. He's going to tell us, realize what time it is, recognize the danger, and then finally, remember your defenses. I just want you to hear the passage as I read it. And then we're going to look at those three sort of levels of check engine that John gives us. I'm going to read from 1 John 2, starting in verse 18. And I'll probably go to verse 27, because I want you to hear it. Because then I'm going to pick some things out of it. Again, our dear old friend begins writing it this way. Dear children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. However, they went out so that it might be made clear that none of them belongs to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I've not written to you because you don't know the truth, but because you do know it. And because no lie comes from the truth. Who's the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father, and he who confesses the Son has the Father as well. What you've heard from the beginning is to remain in you. If you've heard it from the beginning and it remains in you, then you will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he himself has made to us, eternal life. I've written you these things to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. As for you, the anointing you receive from him remains in you, and you don't need anyone to teach you. Instead, his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, as it has taught you to remain in him. The word of the Lord. So what about these check engine lights? Three things I want us to take away today. Realize what time it is. He says it right there at the beginning. Verse 18, children, it's the last hour. What does that make you think of? It's the last hour. It makes me think of that hippie guy with long hair and a beard with the sign that says, the end is, these have to be the end times. This is it. Don't you think this is it? Coronavirus is here and the pandemic and everything else. And this is it. Don't you think this is it? This is it, right? This is it. I had someone ask me the other day, actually they were wanting to tell me, but they did it in the form of a question. They said, don't you think that the cryptocurrency is the mark of the beast? I said, well, last week you were telling me that the COVID vaccine was the mark of the beast. Which is it? By the way, thank you for not thinking the COVID vaccine is the mark of the beast. It's not. I don't know about the cryptocurrency. I've never used it. I frustrate people. And I'll tell you why. Because on a regular basis, people will come to me and say, don't you think the return of Christ is really near? And it's always because of things that are going on in the world right now. Don't you think it's near? Here's my pet answer. The return of Christ is nearer today than it's ever been before. That one I'll die. I'll die for. What time is it? It is the last hour. The last hour. What does he mean, the last hour? Is John sort of just being sensationalistic? Or maybe he's just in his paranoid old age? I mean, the last hour? He wrote this 2,000 years ago. Is he wrong? Maybe he just didn't get it. I was reading in Calvin's commentary in 1 John. John Calvin, you know, one of the great reformers. So he was writing in the 16th century on this passage. I want you to hear what he says. The many ages which have passed since John's death seem to prove this prophecy false. I reply, the apostle remained, but for Christ to appear for the redemption of the world. That's what he means by the last hour. There's nothing else that needs to occur before Christ can return. But he fixed no date and did not dupe the men of his age with an empty hope. In other words, John didn't go around saying, and it's the last hour and he'll be here on Tuesday. I'll sign my book on Monday. Nor did he mean to curtail the future course of the church and the many successions of years during which the church has lasted in the world. He didn't want to say it's going to be right here. He didn't curtail the 2,000 years of all the church is going to do. And indeed, if the eternity of God's kingdom is born in mine, such a long time will only seem to us a moment. Last hour. He says it well, Calvin. I'll read it again. The apostle, after the common manner which Scripture adopts. What does he mean? That's a New Testament technical phrase. The last hour is the phrase of time between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. It's always been the last hour. There's just no clock to it. Not a clock that you know or I know. The last hour began the moment ascended into heaven, and it continues all the way until Christ returns. That's the last hour. See, at times we think of time only as tick, tick, tick chronology. So what time is it? It's 2 minutes after 10 o'clock. And so we think of time that way, as quantity of time, as minutes that go by. And so the Greek word is chronos, that's time. But there's another word for time, and it's the word kairos, and it doesn't speak of quantity of time, it speaks of quality of time. It talks about what's going on in the time, and a time to laugh. It's a season of time. It's the things that go into the time. That's this time. It's a season of time. It's who knows how long, but it's all of this time. And so maybe in your marriage, your love language is time. Maybe it's quantity of time. You just need to hang together a lot. Maybe it's just quality of time. It's the stuff that goes on in the time. A great time was had by all. What time? 10:02? No, that's chronology. Kairos, a great time, quality. This is the last hour. Think chronos. Think of that kind of time. So we're not in the last hour? Oh, yeah, we are. We have been for 2,000 years. And there's something about that time that the writer wants us to know. So think, I want you to get this. Because if you don't, every time something weird happens, you're going to think, oh, no, the end is tomorrow. It could be tomorrow. I tried to think. Here's the best thing I came up with. Think of a baseball game. Think you're in the bottom of the ninth, and the score's tied. When's this game going to end? You don't know. It's not like in football with the 2-minute warning. You know, you got 2 minutes left and this thing's over. It's the bottom of the ninth. Game is tied. Now, I just thought of this. I guess you could even apply this. Now the major leagues has that silly rule that we're going to put a guy on second to make it come quicker. Forget that for a moment. Bottom of the ninth. Game tied. And you have no idea what time this thing is going to be over. That's the last hour. Now, it's easy to celebrate too soon. It's the bottom of the ninth. Christ could return at any moment, but you don't know when. Jesus told his disciples that. I'm coming back. And nobody knows the time. Not even I, Jesus said. So if somebody tells you they think they know, turn them off. Run. They'll try to sell you something else too. Warning light. What time is it? It's the last hour, which means for you, for me, for our kids, be aware. It's the last hour. This last hour has some tendencies to it, has some dangerous tendencies to it. It has for 2,000 years. It's rarely been safe to be a Christian for 2,000 years. It's the last hour, which, by the way, we don't know when Christ comes, but also just as a pastoral aside, you don't know how much time you've got. Make sure you're investing in your time now. You don't know how much time your mom's got. Love her. Send her a note. Do it now. Tomorrow you might not have a chance. Realize what time it is. It's the last time. And because it's the last time, we are at risk spiritually. That's where he's going. Okay. Realize what time it is. What time is it? It's the last hour. Recognize the danger. Here's what he says. Children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. By this we know that it is the last hour. Now we're talking Antichrists. So we got to get those movie cameras rolling. We got to get that book contract signed. Here it comes. Antichrist is coming. Children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that Antichrist, no definite article there, is coming. And even now, many Antichrists have come. So what does he mean, what he's doing there? That Antichrist is coming, which, by the way, there's so many books, so much has been made on Antichrist over the years. Do you know how many times it's mentioned in the Bible? Thank you, Ron. He mentioned it in our study Thursday. 4 times. That's it. As you have heard, that Antichrist. No definite article there. So we go 2 ways with that. Antichrist is coming. We can go with a power or a person or both. And I'm going to do both in a moment. First of all, it's a power. Think of the word anti. Means against. Sometimes it's against to prevent something. You have an antiperspirant. It's against your body odor, right? That's what an antiperspirant, it prevents you from smelling badly. An antidepressant is against depression. Hopefully it prevents you from getting depressed. I'll read it again. And as you have heard, that Antichrist is coming, something that is against Christ and prevents you from honoring Christ, from loving Christ, from following Christ. No article. Antichrist is coming. Consider it a mood, a tone of the last hour for 2,000 years in place of Christ. Instead of Christ's peace, there is war and conflict. Instead of Christ's healing, there is COVID and cancer. Instead of Christ's love and joy, there's fear and hatred. And there's it's that spirit of anything that's anti-Christ that's part for 2,000 years in this last. Well, as you have heard, that Antichrist is to in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Apostle Paul will talk about the man of lawlessness who is to come. That he says, you're worried about the prophecies that Christ has returned. The man of lawlessness will come first, and he's describing that person. Also in John's Revelation in 13, it describes the beast, who is this religio-political person that entire job is to deceive and abuse Christ followers. We've heard that Antichrist is coming. You know, historically, the first person that was labeled as Antichrist was Nero. They thought, maybe it's referring to Nero. And then interestingly enough, historically, there was none of that until the Reformation. Historically, the church understood this as a spirit, as a mood, not a person. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Protestant Reformation, and you have the two camps of the Reformation throwing salvos at each other. So the reformers were throwing the salvos. The Antichrist is the Pope. So the Catholics are firing the salvo back. The Antichrist is Martin Luther. And so you have that going back and forth. And then again, once that sort of settled down, then there was sort of the time that it was simply a tone. It was an anti-Christian tone in the world for these last days. And then in the 20th century, boom, here it comes again. It's Hitler. It's Kissinger. It's Castro. It's Obama. It's Trump. And on we go. Don't waste your time. Don't. Here's where our attention should be. because it has to do with what we believe and how we live. It is the last hour, and as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, person or power, even that's how we know it's the last hour. That's where we should hold our attention. Many Antichrists have come from John's day, probably 90 AD or so, to today. Many Antichrists have come. That's how we know it's the last hour. Why is this so dangerous? Why the check engine light? Why the voot, voot, voot? Well, first of all, because of where they came from. I want you to see this, verse 19. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. First of all, this anti-Christ, suppress Christ, go against Christ, came from within. They came out from us, but they weren't part of us. But it's coming from within. So it's an anti-Christian veneer that starts in the church itself. In John's day, they were part of the faculty, probably, of the teaching. Here's why they're so dangerous, because they came for us. First of all, they diminish Christ. Verse 22. Who is the liar if not the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This one is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Why they're so dangerous? They diminish Christ. They diminish his person. They diminish his work. Historically and presently, that's where the error always is theologically. Let's go after Christ. And so you could pick out any, what I would call Christian sect or cult today, whether it's the Mormons or the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Christian Science or whoever you want. The target is going to be Christ, who he is, fully God, fully man, what he's done, died on the cross for our sins. The Antichrist is dangerous because they diminish Christ. And for 2,000 years, for the last hour, that's what's been going on. Christ. Secondly, they blemish the Christian life. In other words, it doesn't matter how you live. You can live any which way you want. Now, the world, of course, is going to say all kinds of crazy things about Christ and all kinds of crazy things about morality. That's not the issue. They were of us. And so having some sort of credibility within the Christian circles, now they went out from us, but now it started in here. Diminish Christ, blemish the Christian life. I want you to hear chapter 5, a couple of verses. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves the one born of him. And so now he's always going to go after those that are teaching falsely the cause of this letter. This is how we know that we love God's children. When we love God and obey his commands, for this is what love for God is, to keep his commands, and his commands are not a burden. Those in John's day were writing, it doesn't matter how you live. Your body doesn't mean anything anyway. It just matters that somehow your mind is in tune with the God of eternity. Your physical bodies don't matter how you live. And so even today, 2,000 years later, there will be those in the church, around the church. Morality doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how you live. Yeah, it does. Yeah, it does. They diminish Christ. They blemish the Christian life. And then third thing I say, they tarnish the church. And you see it in several ways. They went out from us. They tarnished the church. And I would call these like former believers that used to be in the church that now all of a sudden have a rub. Maybe they learned something they want to share with everybody, or they were wronged and so they want to share that with everybody. Ty and I were talking last night. There's a man by the name of Bart Ehrman. He has 6 New York Times bestseller books. He's a skeptic. He's basically doubting the veracity of the scriptures and the historicity of Christ. I wish he wouldn't do that. Started with us, and now he's out there. Or just disgruntled Christians, where There are times where we're going to be confused, but a disgruntled Christian is one that it's all in order. And then you grow up a little bit and you realize life is kind of weird. Maybe you go off to college or you start studying things. And so now that there's this disorder, you're wondering, what do I really believe? The goal is to get to reorder. Okay, it might look a little different than the way I was taught in fifth grade Sunday school, but to get to reorder. And that's sort of a pattern of life that we all go through. The problem is, especially now, folks that are in the disorder, that are sort of taking apart everything they learned, they can't do it just on their own. They've got to blog it. They got to tell it to everybody else. And so now everyone else is reading and thinking, yeah, maybe so. And so there's all that confusion as well. Started in here. Tarnished the church. Which, by the way, as well, started in here, or at least we thought we did. Relevant magazine just published an article. 19 of the top 20 Facebook, the top pages for Christians. Christians love to read and talk and fight about trolls. 19 of the top 20 social media posts that American Christians love to read, get encouraged, or fight about, trolls from Eastern Europe, from Kosovo, from places like that. And we thought that was Christian stuff. And why are we arguing about all this politics and all that? Because the trolls love it when we argue and get off of Christ. Recognize the danger, the warning light. Be careful. It's the last days. It's the bottom of the ninth. And the enemy will do anything to try to deceive you and derail you. So what are our defenses? Verse 20. Here's the good news. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. It's what you have and what you know. And it might sound a little confusing at first, but what he's saying is that God has spiritually equipped you to withstand the dangers of the last hour. He does it with an inner witness. You have an anointing. Don't have time to go into it, but that is a description of the Holy Spirit that was given to everyone the moment they believe. You have an anointing from within, and you have an outer witness, which are the scriptures that are in your lap, those two things, and that is your defense in these days. This anointing and this scripture are what will help you to stand. The anointing of the Holy Spirit validates and applies the scriptures to your life. Not new truths, but connecting with, oh yes, that's true. Oh yes, that applies to my life. Oh yes, I'm wrong there. How many times have I had people tell me, God told me, and then it's some crazy unscriptural. No, God didn't tell you to do that. It's always going to be consistent with scripture, but the validating of the Holy Spirit anointed in you to protect you from error. He's given you the source, the scriptures. He's given you the inner witness to connect with the scriptures. What's our job? To remember our defenses, keep in step with the Spirit. Keep in step with the Spirit that lives within you. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. And keep aligned with God's Word. Don't get excited by the latest fad, whether it's religious or political. Keep in line with God's Word. That's why I like when he says in verse 24, what you have heard from the beginning is to remain in you. What we've heard from the beginning. John is part of the beginning that wrote it, at least the New Testament. All that we believe has got to be linked with what we heard from the beginning. That's why we recite the creeds in here. We're not just some contemporary fly-by-night. We connected with what was revealed in the beginning. It's a historical orthodoxy. It has to be. No new fads. And the counterfeits are so hard to spot. That's why you have to be in the Word. They're so hard to spot. I just read this. I'm a big fan of Charlie Chaplin. You know Charlie Chaplin. He once entered a Charlie Chaplin look-alike contest. Counterfeits are really hard to spot. We have an anointing from the Holy Spirit. That's our inner witness. We have the very truth of the scriptures. That is our outer witness. And those two in concert are our protection. Let me give you two takeaways. Expose yourself regularly to the word. The engine light is shining. It's flashing. Expose yourself regularly to the word. If you're not sure you're in Christ, keep coming back here. If you're watching right now and you're not sure what you believe, keep coming, keep listening. Expose yourself regularly to the scriptures. It can stand your scrutiny. Christ can stand your scrutiny. Expose yourself regularly to the scriptures. If you are a follower of Christ, read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you haven't in a while, okay, start tomorrow. I've been encouraging people, read 1 John, a chapter a day, Monday through Friday. There's 5 chapters. Start reading it again. If you are reading it, consider start memorizing it. As you're reading a chapter, find a verse that really means something to you. Memorize it. And then memorize again the next day. I hope you're in a small group. That's where the scriptures get really worked through and wrestled through and become a part of your life. Read your Bible. Be part of a group that does it. Listen. I'm glad you're here on Sunday mornings. Listen to it taught. And then obey it. Two takeaways. First one, expose yourself regularly to the word. And then what he says here, remain in the real Christ. Verse 28, little children, remain in Christ so that when he appears, at the end of this last hour, he will appear. When he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before everyone who does what is right. And one of the beautiful reflections of remaining in the real Christ is experiencing the bread and the cup of communion together. When we say symbolically, this is his body, this is his blood, it brings us back to the simplicity of who Christ is. Remain in that. I'm going to pray for us and prepare our hearts to take the communion together. Would you pray with me, please? Father, I pray for all my friends in this room and even those watching. Lord, I know that throughout our life, the warning light is flashing. We go into areas, our life happens in many ways that put us in peril, even spiritually. And Father, it is really easy to ignore the flashing of the light. Lord, thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit to empower us, to recognize truth, to enlighten the scriptures to us, and even to apply it to our hearts and minds. Lord, I pray that you would enable us to be people of that anointing of the Holy Spirit. Help us not quench him, but help us to walk in step with him, and help us to be people of your word, who not only hear it, but read it and learn it and live it. Father, we want to remain in Christ, not just some idea that has been going around for 1,000 years, but an actual person who's sitting at the right hand of you right now and in madly in love with every one of us, who 2,000 years died on a cross that we might have fellowship with you. May the simplicity and the joy of that message buoy us all of our days in these difficult. We pray your blessings on us.